Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. It's Easter Sunday, and verse 24 is where God dealt in my heart about the service today. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, just to help us this morning in the service, to be obedient, God, to your will. Show us, our Lord, the way. In the message today, speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Years ago, I was preaching on an Easter Sunday at Long's Bend Baptist Church down in Sir Goinsville. And I went to the church with an Easter message, so to speak. Say an Easter message on your heart. And I was sitting on the front bench, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and changed the message just like that. I don't know a lot, but I know this. It's best to go with God. I don't know that many would consider the story of the prodigal son to be an Easter text. But when you look at those words, this my son was dead and is alive again. That morning I stood on an Easter Sunday morning and preached on this subject, five reasons why I don't want to go to hell and one reason why I'm not. I told the church that morning that I came to preach on the resurrection. And I told the church, I believe that God doesn't want me to preach on the resurrection. God wants us to witness a resurrection. You see, the Bible declares that man without Jesus is dead in trespasses and in sin. Amen. Little did I know, Brother Michael, that there was a family there visiting from Florida. I minded God. That family drove up from Florida lost. Drove home saved. Maybe you haven't thought about it this way, but every time a sinner is saved, there's a resurrection that takes place. That's the life of Christ.
Amen.
That's given to that individual. I want to just read a text or two here. Turn to John real quickly. We're coming back to the story of the prodigal son. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. You'll understand, I believe, how God is working in my heart. Jesus said, "Verily, verily," those words simply mean truly, truly, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In the story of the prodigal son, that's exactly what happens. There's a young man that passes from death unto life. I'm going to talk to you a little bit in a little while how that takes place. Turn with me in your Bibles, beloved, if you will, to Romans chapter number 10. I'm showing you the importance of the resurrection in the conversion of a soul. A soul that would, my friend, at one moment in time be dead in trespasses and sin. And then because of something called the new birth, being born again, that soul that was dead in trespasses and sin is now made alive unto God. In Romans chapter 10, notice these verses, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see the importance there?
Amen.
Beloved, you can't discard any part. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus died on an old rugged cross. And the third day, Jesus got up victorious over death,
Amen.
Hell, and the grave. You say, "Well, I believe part of that, but I don't believe it all." Then you don't believe any of it. Because, beloved, it's the same Holy Ghost that moved on men's heart to write these truths in the Word of God. Now go to Ephesians. I'm just laying a little groundwork. We're going to go back and take a look at the story of the prodigal son. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh." As I'm reading this, if you know the story of the prodigal son, I want you to think about the parallel between this text and his life. "The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But God. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But when that boy come back to his daddy could have said, "Son, hit the road. You hit it the first time, hit the road. Ain't no room for you around here." But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. I remember witnessing to a lady, I can't tell you the whole story, it takes too long, on a plane. She can tell you the time, but she can't take you to the place where she got saved. It's 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. Amen. But God knows the place exactly where she turned her heart to the Lord. I asked that lady, her name was Jessica. I said, Jessica, do you ever stop and think how God would love you if you'd stop doing some of the things that you know are wrong and start doing what you know is right? She bowed her head. She said, yeah, like that. I said, look at me. She looked at me. I said, God will never love you 1 ounce more than He loves you right now. Honey, He commanded His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, but God, who is rich in mercy with His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Y'all know what that means? Made alive. We're talking about the resurrection now. Amen. Made alive. Quickened us together with Christ. In other words, I'm just as alive as Jesus is. I heard a preacher say one time the service was kind of dull and dry and dead. I hate being in them. Amen. But the preacher said, I wouldn't get too excited. You're just going to live as long as God does. Amen. That ought to thrill your soul. Amen. Watch this. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. That goes right along with the song, Sister Tanita. By grace are you saved. That not of yourselves, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That thief, he couldn't brag on his works. He couldn't even brag on his baptism. Couldn't brag on his church membership. Couldn't brag on his good deeds. All he could say is, I come by the way of the cross. There's somebody hanging in the middle that died for me. I remember years ago, I was responsible for the children's church when I first got saved, Landmark Baptist Church. I took what you call landscape and timbers, and I notched them in the middle. Brother Mike had made three crosses, and I drove a rod in the ground and hooked them to the rod. I had them standing on the bank, the children sitting on the parking lot, and I explained what happened on those three crosses. One of those thieves died in sin. See, you leave this world without Jesus, you're going to die in your sin. Amen. Another one of those thieves died to sin. He said, I've had enough of sin. I want the Savior. Amen. And that one in the middle, thank God that's where I concentrated. He died for sin. Amen. For your sin and for my sin. Let's go back to the story now. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. I've tried to lay just a little bit of groundwork. I'm reminded of what my wife said years ago. She said, the messages are never long, but the openings and the closings are killing us. Luke chapter number 15, I want to start reading in verse number 1, just laying a little groundwork. The message will be short. The Bible said, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. I want to remind you, if you'll study your Bible, it wasn't sinners that give Jesus a hard time. It was the religious crowd. Amen. I've been in the ministry since 1987, and I'm telling you, sinners have never given me a hard time. Drunkards, drug addicts, harlots, they've never given me a hard time. But them people that look down their nose and think they're better, think they know what the preacher ought to preach. Do you hear me? I was in a church one time and they said, you preach too much on salvation. I got a little gospel tract where it said, check below the things you think are necessary to go to heaven. I passed it out. I said, we're going to take a quiz. 2/3 of the church failed it. I don't think I'm preaching too much on salvation. I said, either one or two things is right. I said, either I'm not preaching or you're not listening. Say amen. And here in the Word of God, He said the sinners, they can't. Now watch verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured. Do you know what that means? They're griping. We know what that means in Tennessee. They're complaining. They murmured. This man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a Savior that's still receiving sinners. I say pack it up and go to the house. If he's done receiving sinners, say amen. And he eats with them. He gives three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, silver, and then the parable of the lost son. And I believe in the context, you could make application with the prodigal son to a Christian that's wayward or backslid. But I believe in the context, he's talking about something that was lost and is found. Something that was dead, someone that was dead, and someone that's alive. I believe that's the primary application and interpretation of the text. I'll look at it here this morning. How does he get from death unto life? How does he pass from death unto life? I want to just look at four things quickly this morning. Number one, the choices. The choices. In verse number 12, the Word of God said here, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. He made a choice, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Most of the time you wait for your parents to pass away before you get your inheritance. This was an unusual thing, but the father was willing. Amen. Let me say something about our Lord. He allows us to choose. He put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them instruction, but he allowed them to choose. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now, there's more to being saved than just choosing, just the decision. You can't leave the Holy Spirit of God out of that, and I'm going to talk about that in a little while. But I'm telling you, beloved, that's part of it. Amen. Those two thieves, one of them said, you know what? I believe he is who he says he is. And he chose to receive, to trust him as his Savior. The other one's still saying, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. There was a choice that was made. And so we see the choice here, beloved, that was made. He said, I want it now. Isn't that the mentality of the world today? I want it, and I want it now. Let me say something to the young people. It took your mom and dad 50 years to gather that stuff up that they've got. You can't do it in five. Somebody say amen. And it gets people in trouble. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country. He's made a choice, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. There's a little bit of more of the definition of riotous living given over in verse number 30. The Bible said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. I'm telling you, beloved, he was living on the wild side. Say amen. And listen, let me give this to you. We're sinners by nature when we're born. Somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. And you'll find out something about sin nature. But listen, there comes a day, beloved, when we're no longer sinning just because it's our nature. We're sinning because we choose to. Because we believe the lie of the world, if it feels good, do it. Amen. I'll tell you, there's consequences for sin. And we see his choices here. And when he had spent all, he got down in the far country. He spent everything that he had. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him unto the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk, and the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. All as a result of his choice. I'm going to leave the father's house. I'm going to go to the far country. I want what's coming to me, and I want it now. That was his choice. The next thing I want to talk to you about is something called conviction. We're talking about, how does a person pass from death unto life? The Bible said in verse number 17, and when he came to himself, I'm going to make a statement, like it or not, it's true. You don't come to yourself by yourself. This old sin nature that we've got, beloved, will just keep on and keep on keeping on sinning, amen, until somebody shows up Amen. And he is the precious Holy Spirit of the living God. And the Word of God said he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I want you to see, beloved, it involves here remembering. That's one good thing for somebody that's lost to do this morning, is remember. The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. Remember how good God has been to you in your life. You say, well, I don't have it real good. You have it better than you deserve. You're not in a place called hell already.
Amen.
That's all we all deserve. And then the Bible said here in this conviction that there was not only a remembering, but beloved, there's a repentance. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I believe those are three of the hardest words in the English language to say, right next to I am sorry. People don't like to say I'm sorry, and they don't like to say I have sinned. But I'm telling you, beloved, those are words that we need to say when they need to be said. I have sinned. That's what genuine repentance will do. I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Listen, there's an older son down here in these verses. I'm not going to say a lot about him this morning. There's a whole message on him. But he thought he deserved everything that he had. This man says, I don't even deserve to be able to come home. Just make me as a servant. The servants at the house have it better than I do out here in the far country. Just make me as a servant. Notice now, not only, beloved, does he remember, and not only does he repent, but he's going to return. The Bible said in verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was great way off, his father saw him. We've seen two things in the message so far. We've seen the choices that this young man made. And then we've seen, beloved, the conviction, how that the Lord showed up, amen, and he's making a turn now and he's returning to his father. But I want you to see now the compassion of the father. Listen, this boy's been out there, do you understand, with the hogs. He don't smell good. He don't look good. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I didn't smell good in our sin either. And we didn't look good in our sin either. But I thank God that night I fell on the altar. He fell on me.
Amen.
Kiss me. Love me. Receive me. Had mercy on me. That's what the God of heaven does. The compassion of the Father. He ran and he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. You say, Pastor, what did he do? Well, the first thing I want to say is he was looking for him. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. I was 27 years old before I got saved. I wasn't looking for him. But I'm telling you, he'd been looking for me a long time. Say amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. He was looking for him. You say, he saw him. And then, beloved, not only did he look for him, but look here. He had compassion and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He loved him. I'm telling you, beloved, there's nobody ever loved you like Jesus. He loves you this morning. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. He loves you this morning. If we could only believe this truth, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, he devoured his living with harlots. It wouldn't have mattered how he devoured it. Amen. It wouldn't have mattered. Listen, let me just say this to you. The son that stayed home is just as lost as the son that went in the far country. That son that stayed home is a picture of the Pharisees that's complaining because this man, Jesus, receiveth sinners. It's exactly what's going on in the text.
Amen.
But you see, it's one thing to be lost. It's another thing to acknowledge it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I think my pants have dried out enough now to come out here. Boy, thank God they're dark. Amen. It would have been bad. They may be dry cleaned the next time. They've been wet cleaned one time. Amen. Let me tell you something. I used to go in the woods. I love to go in the woods. I love to hunt. And I used to go in the woods, and what I would do, some of y'all are going to laugh, but I'd look at this great old big oak tree. Big oak tree. Oh, okay, this is a marker. And I'd go over here, and then I'd find a trail, maybe a Y, kick a place in the leaves. Right here is a marker. I'm trying to get back to the truck now when I get done. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Do y'all realize how many big oak trees they are in the woods? Y'all understand that deer and turkey both do that in the woods. And I can remember when I first started hunting, Mark, I didn't look at the big ridges and hollers, you know, how to get out. I wasn't looking at the big picture. And I can remember I was coming down through there, boy, I'm just coasting, I got my light, and I'm coming back to the truck. And it never did dawn on me. Until about the third time at that same oak tree. Something ain't right. Now, when you're lost and don't know it, that's one thing. But you begin to get nervous when you're lost and you know it. And you realize something ain't right here. I'm just going in circles. That's what I did for 27 years, Brother David. I just went in circles. Well, I've had a shepherd ever since then. I've had somebody to lead me. I've had somebody to guide me. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. And so the Word of God's talking about the choices. The Word of God's talking about the conviction. The Word of God is talking about the compassion that this father had on his son. He said, Preacher, I don't know if the Lord could love me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, how is he going to pass from death unto life? We see the choices, we see the conviction, we see the compassion of the Father. And we see him not only looking for him, and we see him not only loving him, but we see him, I use the word lavishing. I'm telling you, he said, kill the fatted calf. I'm telling you, beloved, they wasn't going to have Doritos, say amen. They're going to have a feast, amen. He put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on him. Put some shoes on his feet. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we could just get a hold. Where's Jason at? Is he back there? Brother Jason, if we could just get a hold of how proud he is of us. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. I believe, Brother Chris, that's my son. That's my son. Amen. That's my son. That's my son. He was lost. But no more. He was dead, but no more. He's alive. That's my son.
Amen.
That's my son. The old devil comes along, that accuser says, look what your son did. I can't see it because he's covered in the blood.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's my son. That's my son. We see the compassion of the Father. Bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. I close with this. There's a conversion. Anybody with any sense at all can understand the difference between being lost and being found. Between being dead and being alive. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like to say it like this. I'm not what I used to be. And not what I ought to be. But I want you to know this. I'm not what I'm going to be. Because one day I'm going to be just like Jesus. And it's all because of the change. I love that song, Brother Dale. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came. came into my heart. I have joy in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. I believe this young man is so thrilled and so happy. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a conversion. Everybody knows it. You know, I don't know about you. I know this is a parable, but you have to wonder, how did the elder son know that he devoured his living with harlots? Just a good question, isn't it? But he knew. Amen. I love the line in the song, "He knew me." I'm talking about God now. "Yet he loved me." And he loves you this morning.
Amen.
The question this morning is, have you passed from death unto life? Everybody in this room is either dead in trespasses and sin, or they have passed from death unto life. Jesus, the Word of God said, is the first fruits of them that sleep. Because He got up, I'm going to get up one day after a while. He got up victorious over death, over hell, over the grave. If you and I would have seen this young man down there in the hog pen just wanting to eat the husk, not the corn, the husk, that's what you peel off of the corn. Thank God I've never been at a place in my life where I desired to eat the husk off of the corn or the cob. But I've had plenty of that good corn, amen. I was in a homecoming one time and this lady said, "Boy, that tastes like corn off the cob." I said, "I thought that's where it all come from." I know what she was saying, you know what I mean? Just, I'm going to tell you something. If we would have seen him, we would have seen no hope for him. You may be in a place this morning where you think there's no hope, but I'm here to tell you, I serve a God that's looking beyond your sin, because He looked beyond mine. He looked beyond this young man, and He sees your need. He sees your need. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life." Jesus laid down His life. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to be here. Thank You, Lord, for the precious people that have gathered in this room today. Lord, I don't know why You've led my heart this way today, but God, I know You have. I'm glad, Lord, that I've passed from death unto life. Lord, I pray this morning that You'll speak to hearts. Help us, Lord. Please help us to be honest. You can help us, God, if we'll just be honest with You. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.